Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning, and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned. 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, a whole lot of education, and never any manipulation. That's because we don't have any hidden agendas. We're not trying to sell you something. We are not trying to coerce you into giving anything up or joining anything. All we really have is accurate information. Information that will help you verify and hopefully identify God's plan for your life. If you stick with me for the next 30 minutes, the Flatline will give you some great answers. And you can orient and adjust to the plan of God if you'd like to. This next year is beginning 6 years of broadcasting this radio show across the United States. And thank you for listening. We're broadcasting from the state of California to the state of New York and a few places in between. And it is my prayer in the coming year that we will be able to increase our broadcast sites. And hopefully God will continue to use me to host this show and give you that accurate information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. As this new year comes around, all of us sometimes have New Year's resolutions that we want to make, things that we want to change in our life. I want to invite you to start this new year off with a clean slate, an absolutely clean slate. I want to take you back to the night that I believed in Jesus Christ and received Him as my personal Savior. I remember before I became a Christian laying in my bed at night in my apartment there as a young man and having a spotlight in my head. And that spotlight, not a literal spotlight, but a figurative spotlight, would show me things that I'd done that were wrong, and I knew they were wrong. I did not know how to make them go away. Inside of my head, I would feel guilt and shame at some of the things that I'd done. Couldn't believe that I had done some of those things, and yet I did. I didn't grow up with a great moral background. I didn't have a father. My mother was a single parent, and she raised me to the best of her ability in a federal housing project in the city of Birmingham, Alabama. So I had scars, scar tissue, things in my soul, and I just didn't know how to get rid of it. The night that I accepted Christ as my Savior, when I went back to my apartment and turned in to go to bed that night, I found that it was the first night in many years that I actually had peace with God. There was no more guilt. There was no more shame. And the amazing thing is that Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, accepted me just as I was. I didn't have to clean my act up to come to Him. I didn't have to turn over a new leaf and try to do better. That would not have worked for me. He simply gave me a new life in Him. The Bible clearly states that if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. And that night that I accepted Christ as my Savior, I started a new life at the age of 22. Now, everything that I'd done in the past wasn't deleted, not like hitting delete on a computer. It wasn't gone. It's still there. I can still remember those things. But the guilt and the shame of that sin had been taken away. I did not know that Jesus Christ had paid for my sins on the cross, that He had died in my place. I didn't understand it until I met someone that night who explained to me what the Bible said. He that knew no sin was made sin for us, so that we may be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so that night that I accepted Christ as my Savior, I was in Him. And you yourself can have that same slate wiped clean. If you are living with guilt, and if you're living with shame over failed sins in your life, sins that you did and you thought no one knew about them, you hope no one ever finds out about them, just understand this. If you are not a Christian, Jesus loves you. He will accept you just as you are. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to turn over a new leaf. All you have to do is say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I believe in you and I'm willing to receive you as my Savior. That simple act of faith expressed in a prayer is the single most significant decision you could ever make in your entire life. Because when you do that, that's when you're born again. That's when your relationship with God starts. That's when you become a member of the royal family of God. And that's when the guilt and the shame and all of the doubt is taken away. Have you ever done that? Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? Because if you haven't, regardless of how much you try to turn over a new leaf in the new year, you won't be able to live up to it. Because human energy is not divine energy. It's energy of the flesh. We all have a sin nature. Each one of us do, myself included. And our sin nature does mean well sometimes, and we try to do better, but we inevitably go back to the same old patterns and lust. But in Christ, the Bible says if we will walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're given a new power in your life. You're given the power of God the Holy Spirit, who will come to live inside of you, and He will sustain you. He will guide you into the truth of the Bible, the Word of God. And you will be able to face temptation, sometimes fail, sometimes pass, but you'll be able to handle it. You will not be perfect. No one was perfect. The only perfect person was Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was perfect. He was born without a sin nature, and He never sinned the entire time He was on this earth. Thus, He was the perfect Lamb of God, without spot and without blemish. You and I are not. We fail. We sin. There are ways that we recover from our failure. But the first and the foremost failure I'm talking about is failure to believe that Jesus Christ is the anointed Son of God. Several times in the Bible said, God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Even after He walked out of the Jordan River, having been baptized by John, the voice of God recognized Jesus as His Son. Have you done that? Have you believed that Jesus is the Son of God? Sometimes there seems to be doubt, and sometimes there's indecision on our part because we hear so many other things. The only way that you can ever come to Christ is to come by faith. You're not going to be able to scientifically figure it out through some sort of scientific data. You're not going to be able to rationalize why it should work or shouldn't work. You have to operate on faith. Pisticism. Not empiricism. Pisticism. Pisticism is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, which is the word faith in the English. You must come by faith. And that's why the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." It's a gift from God, and not of works, as someone would brag about it. It's simply an act of faith. You believe in who He is, and you follow what He said. When Jesus walked by the hut where Matthew the tax collector sat, He simply looked at him in Luke 5 and said to Matthew the tax collector, "Follow me." Matthew was a very wealthy man. He collected taxes for the Romans and certainly skimmed his part off the top. But without hesitation, he got up and he followed Jesus Christ, our Lord. I don't know what Matthew saw. Maybe he had been hearing rumors about the Messiah. But when he saw Him, when he looked into His eyes, when he heard His voice, he knew this was the Son of God. Just as the Roman centurion who crucified Him on the cross and said verbally as He hung there dying, "This is the Son of God." There is no doubt about it. Jesus is the Son of God. And He will come and live inside of you. A lot of people often quote a verse that said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hears my voice and opens that door, I will come into him and sup with him." That actually is a verse dealing with Christians who are out of fellowship, but it's a perfect analogy. Jesus Christ will come to live inside of you. He will indwell you, and the Holy Spirit will indwell you, and God the Father will indwell you. You will be a new person in Christ. You will not be subject to the control of the sin nature with no way out anymore. Now you will be able to walk in the Spirit. Now you'll be able to have divine viewpoint associated with your thinking. And now you'll be able to see what you've been doing to yourself all of these years. And it starts with you believing in Jesus Christ and having a clean slate to start the new year. You can meet him by faith. You can meet him by faith. But that's the only way. If you think you're going to go out into a field and stand under the stars on a full moon night and ask God to show himself to you, that's not going to happen. You must come by faith. And I know that's a hard thing to say because some people have a problem with that. When you come by faith, and the Bible says, to as many as receive him, to them God gave the right to become his children, even to them that just believe in his name. The faith is believing that he is the Son of God. Peter learned it the hard way. He said, you are the Son of God. Yes, he is. He can change your life. He has forgiven your sin on the cross. He has paid for your sin. Let me put it that way. He hasn't forgiven them yet until you receive him, but he paid for your sin on the cross. And then when you receive him, those sins are forgiven. They're gone. No one ever goes to hell because they committed sins. They go to hell because they reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why is that? Because he's already been judged for you. He's already paid the price for your sin. And God is not going to judge him and then turn around and judge you. That would be double jeopardy. God judged Christ. And what God will do with you and with me is he will look to see if we have received Christ as our Savior. And if, in fact, we have, then you will be granted eternal life with the Father. It is, the Bible clearly says, to be absent from the body is to be face to face with the Lord. There's no death for you as a Christian. There's just vacating an empty shell and moving into the realm of heaven where you get an interim body until you receive that resurrection body, and then that's the body that you'll be in forever. And the Bible tells us there will be no more pain and no more tears and no more sorrow. Is that your destiny? Or will you be stuck in a sinful body? And will you face the great white throne of judgment, where the Bible says and teaches us in Revelation 19 and 20 that your name will not be found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that your works will not equal the righteousness of God, and you will be condemned to the lake of fire? I pray not. I trust not. I hope not. Start this new year off by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the Bible says, you will be saved. And it is the most fantastic decision you can ever make. Look back into your life. Look back into your past. Are you sick of living like that? Are you ready to find a better way to live? Then it's through faith in Christ. That's the way. Now let me just say something to the Christians that might be listening. If you are a believer, meaning you have already trusted Christ as your Savior, have you allowed sin to sour your relationship with God? Have you allowed your sin nature to capture you once again, to manipulate you and to control you to the place where if someone saw you, they might think you're not even a Christian because of the way you live? We all have a sin nature. All of us do. And we have been told in the Bible, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies any longer. We now have a choice. We can walk by means of the Spirit, or we can walk by means of the flesh. If you've been walking by means of the flesh, this means that you have been committing sin and you have not dealt with it. Maybe you've hidden it. Maybe you've covered it up. Maybe you go to church and act like you're the most sanctimonious, holy person there, but on the inside, Jesus said, you're full of dead man's bones. You know, a lot of religious people are not even saved. And the reason is because they're trying to earn the forgiveness of God, just as the Pharisees did and the Sadducees in the days of our Lord when he walked around the streets of Galilee and they challenged him at every move. They thought surely they were going to heaven because they were keepers of the law. And they were such holy, self-righteous men. And they were so offended when Jesus spent time with tax collectors and prostitutes. He told them, sick people need a doctor. Well people don't need a doctor. And they thought they were well. They figured they didn't need Jesus. They were already going to heaven. They were Jews and they were observers of the law. So why would they need a doctor? And he was right. They didn't see their own deficiencies. Look at yourself carefully. Don't be trapped into thinking that you're going to heaven because you've joined church. Don't be trapped into thinking that you're going to heaven because you have attended Sunday school and tithed. Anytime you add works to faith, it cancels out the faith. It's always faith alone in Christ alone. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't drink and you accepted Christ. You're not going to go to heaven because you don't smoke and you accepted Christ. Anytime you put that and, anytime you add something, you're eliminating the grace. Because if you can add something to get it, then you can add something to lose it. And you can't lose it. The Bible clearly says these things are written so that you might know that you have eternal life. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God hath not life. 1 John 5:11. You can know it. Jesus himself said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So if you walk around hoping, trying, then maybe, just maybe, you've never come by faith alone. That's exactly what Matthew did. He wasn't baptized. He just got up and followed Jesus. He even threw a party for Jesus at his house that night and invited all of his tax collector friends. And that's what offended the Pharisees so highly, that Jesus and his disciples were there with these unclean tax collectors whom they hated. What about you? Are you willing to follow him by faith alone? It has nothing to do with your membership in church. It has nothing to do with your language. It has nothing to do with anything you can do. He did it all. He satisfied the righteousness of God. The justice of God judged him. You can't do it. All of your righteousnesses are like a filthy rag in God's eyes. Isaiah 64:6. So if you never smoked, if you never drank, if you went to church every time the door was open, and if you tithed 10% of your income every year, and if you never cheated on your wife and never cheated on your income taxes and never broke the speed limit and never did anything ever wrong, you'd still go to hell. You're not Jesus. You were not born minus a sin nature. You were born into Adam, and the Bible says, as in Adam, all die. For by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and now death has passed on all, for all have sinned, and all have come short of the glory of God. So you cannot be good enough to get it on your own. If you were riding on a jet airplane, could you get out and push it? Could you make it go faster by getting on the wings and trying to flap your feet and get some traction? Of course not. And you cannot help God either in your salvation. Either you're saved through faith alone in Christ alone, or you're not saved because you've deceived yourself. Is it possible to deceive yourself? into thinking you're a Christian? Yes. The Bible says, in that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful things? And he said, I will tell them, I never knew you. Oh, yeah. You looked the part. You acted the part. You might even smelled like the part. But you were not saved, because it was not faith alone in Christ alone. That is the hardest thing for people to understand. They think they have something to do with it. And you see, when you understand what I'm telling you, that it's faith alone in Christ alone, then you understand that you can do nothing to keep it. You didn't earn it, and you're not going to do something to keep it. And this is where Satan will sometimes confuse you and manipulate you by trying to get you to think that since you do good things, God likes you, and if you do bad things, God doesn't like you. That's not true. God always loves you because he is love. You may turn your back on God. He'll never turn his back on you. He'll just love you from the backside as much as he loves you from the front side. It's you who have the problem, not God. And so remember this. Keep this in your mind. Faith alone in Christ alone is how we get saved. We simply come to the Father and by faith receive Christ as our Savior. Paul made it clear to the Roman jailer at Acts 16:31 when he said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. John wrote it clearly in 1 John 5:1, he that believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Believing that Jesus is the Christ. That means you can't save yourself. You can't propitiate God. You can't satisfy the righteousness of God. There's nothing you could do that can add to what Christ has done. And as long as you keep trying to do something, then it is not faith alone. It is faith plus whatever you're doing. Faith plus not smoking. Faith plus not drinking. Faith plus not whatever. It's not that. It's faith alone in Christ alone. So start this new year out with a new relationship with God the Father. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, start this new year out by dealing with your sin. The Bible clearly says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All you need do is what I do. Go to your Heavenly Father and admit your sin to him. The Bible says if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to purify us from all of our wrongdoing. You know what that means? It means you have to make a volitional decision to go to your Heavenly Father and to say, I have sinned. David, the man after God's own heart, committed a horrible sin and tried to cover it up until Nathan exposed him. And then David, you can read what he said in Psalm 32:4-5. As long as I covered it up, I withered and died. My heart was cold and like a stone. And then when he had finally came to his Father, his Heavenly Father, and admitted his sin, he found out, number one, God still loved him, and number two, God would forgive him. God still loves you. I don't care what you've done in this past year. Do not be afraid to come to him and admit your sin to him. He will be faithful. That means he will do it every time. And he will be just. That means he doesn't compromise his righteousness when he does this. He will be faithful and just to forgive you and then cleanse you from all of your wrongdoing. In John chapter 13, our Lord practiced foot washing. Some people still practice it today, and it was a lesson. People took it literally, and listen, Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you're not going to have anything to do with me. Listen, foot washing was a picture of the sin being forgiven. When you sin, you are defiled. You're out of fellowship with God. You've quenched the Holy Spirit and grieved the Holy Spirit. And no matter how much you go to church and no matter how much you play the religious game, you may be doing the right thing, but you're doing it in the wrong way because your sin has broken fellowship with God. And it could be some great, big, horrible sin. Yes. Maybe you cheated in your business or defamed your partner or lied to the government or whatever. But it could be some small sin, like you've been talking about someone or criticizing someone or maligning someone. Whatever sin it is, it's broken fellowship with God. It's quenched the Holy Spirit and grieved Him. And you yourself know something is wrong because your prayers are not being answered and you don't feel close to God anymore. Did God leave you? No. You shut the door. You stepped outside. And that's why Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him and sup with him. Jesus Christ is willing to resume fellowship with you if you'll let him. You must make that decision. You must make that choice. You must go to God the Father and admit your sin to Him. And then He will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all of your wrongdoing. I hope this has been a challenge to you. I hope it's been instructional to you. There's a lot more things that I want to say this coming year, but I want you to have the privilege of starting this year off on a clean slate, in fellowship with God, if you're a Christian, with no unconfessed sin hanging around in the background. Or if you have never come to God through faith alone in Christ alone, then do it and get it squared away so that you are clear that you have eternal life based on what Christ did alone, not on what you're doing to help Him. If you got that clear in your mind, and if you understand that, then you can begin to grow in this marvelous journey called the Christian life. You have so many assets. You have so much power available to you. You have such a life available in front of you. Don't waste it. Don't blow it. And don't mess up. Hang in there. This is going to be a phenomenal year. As always, if you ever have a question, feel free to contact me from our website, rickhughesministries.org. Until next week, this is Rick saying thank you for listening to The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.